There was one with Chris Eccleston looked interesting, set in the Arctic, I think, or maybe
Right.
Alaska.
Right.
I think it was called Bollocks.
Bollocks. Didn't ring a bell.
Test of the emergency broadcast system, motherfuckers. This is Terry fucking Soldold, live and direct, hijacking the airwaves from their Meet for the Reefs podcast puss bags. All you techno geeks, suspend your disbelief. Well, this is a pre-recorded podcast, Terry. Terry is fucking magic, and that's all you need to know, cunts. Terry is here to tell you about the montage of Feck Off, a new documentary about the demise of Sheffield's shittiest band, the Friends of Batman. Following the band from their fucked up beginnings to their ultimate demise and every untruth in between. If you're easily offended, then you can suck a dick, big fuckers. Coming soon to a porno theatre near you. This is Terry Soldold signing off, you shower of f***.
So welcome back to Meet for the Beast, episode 13.
Episode 13, holy shit.
Yeah, unlucky.
Lucky for some.
Unlucky for us.
Yeah, you know the truth.
We're doing I think last time we said we'd never Skype, and so this time we're doing a Skype, of course.
Yeah, because fuck you, that's why.
Apologies if the quality sounds a bit crapper, but...
Yeah, I kind of like... I hope that this sounds like I'm phoning it in from the middle of a fucking field somewhere in a gale. Then I'd be good with that.
It doesn't actually sound that bad, in my end. It sounds all right.
Well, you're sounding quite clear to me, Jim. Like, and especially when I look at that little picture of you, looking confused. It's good.
Yeah, yours is like a sort of blank man's tooth. I suppose you've only just sold the account.
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck is this?
You've never used Skype before?
Not in this capacity. Not in my own. Certainly not my own account.
Right.
I did once have a talk with Frank Henenlotter, director of Basket Case, over Skype. That's another story.
We'll go back to that later.
Alrighty.
So, yeah, what do you want to talk about?
We've got Jurassic World. We've got something else that was before Jurassic World. What was that? Oh, well, I think last time I'd seen Mad Max and you'd seen Avengers, and now both of those things have been swapped.
Yeah.
I've seen Avengers and you've seen Mad Max, and we've both seen Jurassic World. So.
Yeah. I won't bang on too much about Mad Max because you already gave it the full, gave it a good going over.
Of course,
so to speak. But really, really liked it. So I thought it was. I was kind of not that arsed about it until I think you sort of said it was good, and a couple of other people said you got to go and see it.
Yeah.
And it lived up to the hype for once. Yeah. It was really good.
It's beautiful. I think at the time I'd only seen it in standard 3D, and then the week after I went to see it in IMAX 3D, and it was bigger and better and brighter and fucking Acer. Very good.
Nice. I got a double view from you.
Oh, yeah. And last film I saw twice at the cinema was Transformers 4, so I thought I needed to rectify that.
the only downer for me was that I just wanted Mel Gibson to be in it. From the start, I was like, oh, I wish it had him in. But after about 15 minutes, I kind of forgot about it and just enjoyed it. Tom Hardy's accent got me a bit. It was a bit like, it wasn't quite there, but...
I guess he doesn't have much to say, really, does he? He has probably about 100 words to say in the entire film, if that.
Yeah.
But you were right. I know early when the trailer came out, you were like, no, they've done this weird Charlize Theron, she's Mad Max, or some. You had some crazy theory. But you were right in at least that it was her story. So
I'll be honest, I don't know whether that was intentional or not, because she doesn't. She probably does as much as Tom Hardy in it.
Oh yeah, she's badass.
She just kind of comes across as a bit cooler, but I suppose she doesn't spend half the film strapped on the front of a car, which I also...
That's true. Wearing a fucking gardening trowel on his face. Her face. It is like it,
But, it looked fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And one thing that I think is perhaps like Mad Max films down in the past is the soundtrack, because you listen to those first two, it sounds like it could be the fucking soundtrack from Lawrence of Arabia or something. Not, that's no diss to Lawrence of Arabia, but
yeah,
it's quite orchestral and the look's quite punky, isn't it? And quite sort of...
Totally. I think they had, what's his name, Junkie XL doing hand in the soundtrack, and you've got that fucking mutant on the bungee cords playing flamethrower guitar. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, some mad fuck called Biotta or something. Some performance dude.
Really? Shit.
I think so. Yeah. And, I thought that was... I just thought it was a real kick-ass soundtrack that the others kind of lacked, although, you know, props to Tina.
Yeah. That's a strong song, that. I mean, it's... It's heart-wrenching, it's meaningful, it's good, full of mullets.
Did you watch... I posted some link of the opening track. It's my favourite on Mad Max 3. I can't remember what it's called, but I watched the video, which is actually one of those cool videos where it intersperses bits from the film. And towards the end, fucking sax man from Lost Boys shows up, starts fucking throwing his sax around.
Oh, Tim Capello.
Yeah, greased up sax man.
Sweet deal.
Exactly the same look as well, the same chains and everything. Yeah, so I wonder if he was actually in the film.
I'm just looking up now, because we've got the internet.
So what else? What else been going on?
Well, not bother about the Avengers, because, well, whatever, you know, fucking nice one. What's his name? Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon.
Yeah, nice one, Joss Whedon, turning fucking Hawkeye into a fucking farmer. Of course, he's a fucking farmer. But yeah, other than that, it was decent enough. Just to go back momentarily, you're quite right. Tim Capello does play saxophone on tracks 1, 3, and the saxophone solo on track 2 on the Beyond Thunderdome soundtrack. Quite, FYI.
Quite impressed you know the name of the greased up sax man from Lost Boys.
Why would you not? I actually watched Lost Boys on Saturday night.
Okay.
Tim Capello, he's a beast.
So Jurassic World. You said you texted me saying you thought it was the shit. So
I did. I liked it a lot. I think I was a little hungover for a fucking change. But it was a lot of fun. I can understand why people, you know, it's not the earnest Spielbergian family melodrama that people might have wanted, but I'm not bothered about that. I guess it's a little CG action. I think that I wasn't sure if the actual physical effects were that great, but I think by and large I thought it was pretty frigging solid. Chris Pratt's ace, Bryce Dallas Howard's lovely, the kids weren't annoying, nice throwbacks to the first films. I had no problems with it, really.
Do you know what I think? I liked it.
Nice one, John Williams. You suck.
Yeah, I thought it's... I'm a bit of a kind of... like my Mrs. Melissa, for people who don't know her, like she's not really into horror and stuff, so like a lot of the stuff I'm into I can't really share with her. Or like that's something that, like, she loves Jurassic Park for some reason. I think she watched it loads when she was a kid.
Right.
And we've kind of got a bit of a Jurassic Park bond.
Oh, and, that's nice.
Yeah, because I never really gave a fuck about it till I met her, and then I'd never seen the sequels, so we ended up watching those only a few years ago.
Oh, the second one's dog shit.
You don't like the second one?
Fucking hate it, mate. It's awful. Third one's great, but the second one's awful. I've got a particular beef with the second one.
Finish your Bond. That's what I was going to say. I think the second one's the strongest.
The
first one's mainly fucking Richard Attenborough, who's the greatest actor in the universe, even though nobody on the fucking planet's ever seen Brighton Rock or whatever, because it looks like a pile of shit.
Fucking hell, Jesus. I'm not having that.
It's like what your fucking granddad puts on at tea time.
Oh my god. Have you seen 10 Rillington Place?
I've heard of it.
Try watching that and then you'll
Is that about a psychopath?
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah, okay, yeah, I can see. But, I mean, the first Jurassic Park is proper, it's textbook Spielberg, isn't it? Family cheese.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose, for me, Richard Attenborough is probably like some snotty little teenager going to see a film now and it's got Ian McKellen in it or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, who's that old dickhead?
Yeah, I got that.
I wanted the kids to die in the first one. Because I think what ruined it for me when it came out was that it was around the time I was watching stuff like Predator and Aliens, and I was just getting into proper, like, full-on...
Proper films. Proper cinema.
Fucking Arnie sticking a knife in his eye and things like that. And
So
I was expecting those dinosaurs to be, like, chewing on fucking children's bones and... and it was like, oh, fuck, those... They're going to get away. What's going on?
Fair enough.
I just thought everyone's going to fucking die. And basically only about two people do in the first one, don't they? Like, it's only about two good deaths in it.
Okay. How many killings has it got? Okay, yeah.
Well, that's second one's nails, though, because it starts with, like, the kid getting eaten. It's like, yay, instantly... instantly kind of repaired the problems of the first one. And I don't know.
I mean the entire plot of Jurassic Park 3 is a kid is in peril and he's lost in the jungle. Can I tell you the beef?
Go on.
When Jurassic Park came out, it was a massive success, and as yet Michael Crichton hadn't written a sequel, so he wrote The Lost World, which is a better fucking book, and it's got loads of awesome shit in it. It's just bananas and it's great. And I thought, I can't wait to see that film. So then Lost World comes out as a film, and David Coep, or whatever his name is, turned that book into fucking nothing. Like, the King Kong shit in San Diego, where there's a loose T-Rex on the street, that's not in the fucking book, because it's fucking ridiculous.
It was up there with Optimus hiding behind a fucking tree.
Exactly, man. See, that I can understand, because why would a giant robot not hide behind a tree? Then the reason Jurassic Park 3 gets props from me is because it uses unused elements from the Lost World book and puts them on screen. And that's why, I think the Lost World is a great book, a terrible film. Jurassic Park 3 is great. But what's weird is, like, you know, people up about Jurassic World, there's quite a few naysayers. I'm surprised that Jurassic Park is so well regarded. You know, you get like people, you know, new Transformers comes out or Ninja Turtles, it's like, oh, you've shit on my childhood, you've ruined my childhood.
Right.
Jurassic Park comes out and it's like, you've ruined this as well. It's like, well, who the fuck gave a shit about Jurassic Park in the first place? It was good. But it was, I don't think it was ever widely kind of, it's not like a favourite. It's not their favourite film. Do you know what I mean?
I suppose, maybe...
It's not shit at all, but it's not... Like, I understand someone saying E.T. or Jaws or Indiana Jones if you're going to go down the Spielberg route. But Jurassic Park is just regarded as a good movie. It's no one's personal frigging favourite.
Yeah, I think that sort of goes in its favour, though, because whenever it gets a sequel, nobody seems to... Like you said, nobody seems to rip the arse out of it. It's like, okay, that was fun. That was my take on the new one, I thought... Just had a fun trip to the cinema, and it didn't change my life. But I did love the pterodactyl stuff, because being a bit of a fan of bats, it's good seeing some.
God, go on. Sorry,
I was just gonna say they're basically dinosaur bats, aren't they? Kind of.
Yeah.
Dipping down, causing some shit.
I think if you'd have seen this as a pubescent youth at the same time you saw Jurassic Park. If you'd have seen this then, I think you'd have been a bit more impressed, because there's a hell of a lot of deaths in this shit. Like, the pterodactyl bit piercing the helicopter through the guy's heart, and he just dies immediately, but we don't dwell on that. Yeah. And then a lot of death, a lot of killings in it.
I thought
it had more going for it than it didn't have going for it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a hoot.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, and I mean, we don't want to ruin it, but it's a great end scene. I thought it was worth a few drab bits at the start to get to that great ending, I thought. And I think one thing I would say, though, like, it for all the hype that Indominus Rex or whatever, is that what it was called, Indominus Rex?
Indominus, yeah.
I don't think it looked that great. I was sort of expecting it to be a bit more rock and roll than that.
Yeah, it was just a bit paler and meaner looking. But I think I did like there was a few nods where it felt like it was channeling Aliens, and at one point I thought it was going to do. I mean, it did have a few nods to Predator at one point.
Yeah.
And I thought they're going to follow that to. There was a bit that I wanted to happen, but unfortunately didn't, because I thought that would have been ace. But not to spoil it, it's still on general release, but there's a bit where I think if you're anything like me, you'll be thinking, holy shit, imagine if this happens.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah. We're being very covert today, aren't we?
I know, yeah, almost camouflaged.
Yeah, there was like one scene where I think the rating would have had to be higher for it to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, it would have been carnage, which would have been great.
I know, right?
But no one would have gone to see it. I thought, you remember that beast in the third one with the long kind of beaky?
Yeah, the Spinosaurus.
Ah, well remembered, yeah.
Well remembered, damn right.
I thought he looked more formidable than the Indominus.
Yeah.
He's a bit forgotten, wasn't he?
Because no one was really kind of a... It was just more like... He didn't really. I don't even know if he got named in the film. It was more a kind of, oh, there's a thing that's a bit bigger than a T-Rex there. What is it? I don't know. Whatever. It's run away.
I reckon I'd give Jurassic Park about the Jurassic World about. Actually, IMDb for me always get it wrong, but they rated it about 7.2, which is probably what I'd have given it.
I probably wouldn't go as far as going to points. So I think it's a good, it's a good 7 for me.
No, that the extra point two sweat.
6.854. Because it didn't follow the Predator analogy. Because it wasn't Predator.
I must say, IMDb does piss me off, because it's like, if something's kind of all right, like if something's quite good, like Dark Knight, or 9.8.
Yeah.
If something's mildly shit but not that bad, it's like 3.2. Fuck off. Yeah. It's just like, it's a real knee jerk sight these days. It used to be very accurate, I think.
I think it's in Rotten Tomatoes where the opinions are made, isn't it? I got the impression Rotten Tomatoes is kind of like the Pitchfork.
Right. Okay.
Kind of. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't really go on Rotten Tomatoes.
Me neither. But I think Mad Max was getting some serious props.
Cool.
Because it was getting like pre-release fucking best part of 10, which never happens.
Yeah.
So fair play to him.
I think Mad Max, I'd go as far as 8.5.
I'd give it a 9. I'd give it a 9.95.
All right, Gibson would have got it that extra 0.5 for me.
Yeah, I think it. So 98% Mad Max Fury Road is on Rotten Tomatoes. 98%. Yeah. That's crazy.
That is a knee jerk review, though, isn't it?
Jurassic World's at 71.
Okay, that's almost only 1% out then. I've just been watching what's it called? Case 74 or something? Or Case 27. It's just appeared on Netflix. It's about it's got Jared Leto in it as the guy who shot Lennon.
You mean Chapter 27?
Chapter 27, yeah, sorry.
Yes, yeah.
Case 74. I wonder what the fuck Case 74 is.
I think that's some other shit. Some horror shit. Yeah,
probably the bloke who raped George Harrison or something. I don't know.
Is it George Harrison rapes?
I just made that up. Sick joke. Apologise for that.
Jesus.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It's hard to believe it's him. It's like weight just totally changes him.
I know, he's a porker, isn't he?
Yeah. It's like a bad dream of Fatty McVeigh's come back to haunt us. In some Wi-Fi cut.
Oh, give me the. Got any pies, mate? Give me some pies. Need a pie or a cake.
Put
cake in a pie. I'll eat that.
Instead of Lennon's new album, he's got like a box of fucking. Box of those creme. I'll fuck this joke up now. He's got a box of those posh donuts under his arm for Lennon to sign. For Krispy Kreme bloke to sign.
Jesus.
and he doesn't murder him, just fucking gets his cock out. Destroys a good box of donuts.
Terrible waste of donuts. Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, dear.
Do you want to know why it's called Chapter 27? I think I know this.
Oh, right. Oh, I presume he keeps pulling his book out.
Well, yeah, because he had Catcher in the Rye on him. I've not watched this film, but I think he was very inspired by Catcher in the Rye, which I believe only has 26 chapters, if memory serves.
Okay.
Yeah, good, eh? I think that's a good title. Well, for a bleak tale.
Catcher in the Rye sounds like one of those books I should have read that I never will.
You should totally read it. It's brilliant.
Right.
I once read it. I had to do some invigilating at work, and I only had one book, and it was that. So I read it, and then I've got another 2.5 hours to kill here. So I started reading it again. It's that good.
Yeah.
I had nothing else to do. I probably wouldn't have read it if I was going about my business, but it's a brilliant book. It's really good. It's one of my favourites.
So doing a sterling job in the public sector there.
I was invigilating. I had nothing to do. I'm not in the public sector anymore. I work for a charity technically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you were the invigilator then.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to look after the kids, and I sit there and make sure they stay quiet and don't cheat and play on the phones. And I've got 3 hours to kill. Read a book.
Did you ever have to invigilate, like actually go and kick some ass?
No, I just kind of like it was kind of
slam a ruler on someone's desk. Ruler across the knuckles. you've blown it, son.
No, I just had to point and look concerned and say, "Exam conditions, put your phone away." And there you go. Usually that's good enough. That's good enough. Because exam conditions, you should know exam conditions when you're a postgrad, surely.
Yeah. Imagine if you really genuinely wanted to cheat your ass off, there's got to be some way of doing it.
Yeah, there's ways. There's plenty of ways. But usually I think a lot of people cheat on the coursework element. They pay some dude in fucking China to write it. Yeah, what's your essay? Yeah. Oh, here it is. All right, nice one. Give us £50. I'll do you an essay.
Yeah. That's going to bite you in the ass eventually, though, isn't it?
It is, because they run it through the software, and all the other essays that this dude wrote with the same question are very similar. So, surprisingly, it comes up. We've gone off topic here quite in a big way. This has nothing to do with any. But yeah, back on it. Catching the Rye is well worth time. It's a very brief book. If you find yourself on a train journey, I suggest you read it.
So, yeah. We might have to wrap it up soon, man.
Yeah, man, who's taking over for me now? Who's this dude you've got stepping in?
Get this McVeigh cocksucker out of here. Wielding the big guns. Yeah, it's basically... I mentioned the Electric Soup Kitchen before, which is a podcast that kind of
makes... respect.
Yeah, kind of made me want to get off my arse and do a podcast. And sadly, it's not going anymore, but there is the chance, like... The last time I bigged it up, Marcus ended up doing a special.
Okay.
So hoping that, you know, he might be reinvigorated by this kind of revival.
Nice one.
So, so cheers for letting us do this, you know.
All right, so, this has been our first Skype cast. I hope it's been all right. I'm going to hand over to a man who's coming out of retirement to just talk some stuff in a far more eloquent manner than I can, I'm sure. Nice one. Welcome aboard, Marcus. I'm off for a cider, and I'll see you fuckers later.
Nice one. In a bit.
Bye.
Electric Soup Kitchen.
Okay, something a bit different now. You might have heard me mention the Electric Soup Kitchen podcast in past episodes, and that was a podcast run by a friend of mine called Marcus Daly, and it was running until up until a few years ago. I used to kind of follow it, really enjoy it, and it kind of inspired me to start Meat for the Beast with McVeigh, because I'd often sort of throw Marcus a bone here and there, like send some bullshit in that he probably felt obliged to play, and used to really enjoy it. So I spoke with Marcus and we decided to do this kind of mini Electric Soup Kitchen revival, and it seemed out to kick it off with
There's a chap called Unky Dunky, the bologna slicer. He was a fella who ran a butcher shop, I think, in New Jersey. And he funded this comedy album, which is full of, like, the worst jokes you can imagine. And it all seems to be about him slagging off his assistant called Mortimer. And there's lots of crap, canned laughter and shitty sound effects in the background. And it's kind of regarded as possibly the worst comedy album ever committed to vinyl. So this is Unky Dunky.
Ladies and gentlemen, comic sensation of the nation, Unky Dunky the Bologna Slicer. Unky Dunky. Ever take the number 11? You save money. Walk, walk, walk. One more ball. Azaru, and I'll just keep rolling along. Let the good times roll. Morty, you forgot to take out the garbage. But don't worry, by now it's so ripe, it's beginning to move all by itself. And I'm riding it piggyback right out the door. Yes, we have no bananas today.
Right, so I'm joined by the Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
The Obi-Wan Kenobi of Meat for the Beast. It's a man who used to run a podcast called The Electric Soup Kitchen, which is what got me into the whole shenanigans. And so, Marcus, how are you?
I'm good. I was just before you called trying to work out, was that about 10 years ago that we were doing that podcast, or I was doing that podcast?
Yeah, it must be going back a bit now, because I was still working full time, which was at least 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So it probably was, yeah.
I think it was maybe about 2006.
Bloody hell.
And then I was thinking, how did you even find it? Because you were like the one person that like gave us the most feedback and sort of enjoyed it the most. But then I can't remember how you found it. Was it through Anjon?
Yeah, it was Anjon, because he kind of knew. Because Electric Soup was quite sort of geeky as well, and
he was doing some illustrations for us for the little player window.
Yeah, yeah, and he put me onto it and said, "Check these guys out. They're into the same daft stuff, so it's all good." Mm. But you guys seem to put a bit more effort in than we do. Because now I'm doing it, I realize how much effort must go into tracking down all these audio clips and bits and bobs of old timey radio and that kind of thing. Remember that Unky Dunky guy?
Yeah,
he was always good.
But that good. And that's kind of what killed it for me, because it became so much work, and then I was always worried that we were repeating ourselves, and we did kind of. I think we did nearly 2 years, but we were just there's only so many Doctor Who conversations you can have. And then
I fucking lapped it up, to be honest. I thought it was great. It was the only podcast I'd listened to at the time as well. Right. So it was kind of a new thing for me. And particularly liked all the Phantom. There was a guy called the Phantom Crapper.
Yeah, he was a little gift that some guy was had got out of care and was crapping all over the London transport system, and then he was arrested and escaped and went on the rampage again.
There was always a good Phantom Crapper story to be had, and there's quite a lot of toilet humour, actually, as I remember.
Yeah, I did have a little worry that somehow he might hear it and, like, track me down and shit on my doorstep or something. he was good, the Phantom Crapper, wherever he is. God bless him, wherever he is now.
So give us, like, you know, tell us about the Electric Soup Kitchen then, because, like, I mentioned it before on Meat for the Beast, and take every opportunity to big it up because it was my inspiration. Go for it.
Well, I knew I wanted to do something, but I think I had this, looking back, Apple was sending out all this stuff, like going on about podcasts and promoting podcasts, and I thought it was bigger than it was. So I was like, oh, everybody's doing this podcast thing, so I'll have a go at that. But looking back, there weren't that many doing it, and a lot of the sites, like, I was doing it on a Mac, so I couldn't even, like, stick it on other podcast sites. I had to, like, be converting it. They could only take MP3s. So it was definitely the early days of all that, without me even realizing that. I think I just, because I was getting all the emails and reading all the hype, that I just thought it was, like, a big thing. I think it was probably relatively new. And then I tried doing it by myself, and I just sounded like a dick. Just talking to myself.
Oh, it's a bit hard, isn't it? I've tried that.
Yeah, you end up sounding like Smashy and Nicey. Well, just Smashy, alone Smashy. So
I've had to do the odd link.
Yeah.
So, like, because we like do the conversations in one shot, and then we might come back with the music for it after or whatever, and that. Feel like such a cunt doing those links.
Yeah.
And it takes me about 10 takes as well.
Yeah, and because you're thinking, I've got to make it interesting, but at the same time, you don't want to sound like DLT or something.
Yeah.
But you do. So I wrote Richard in, who's like the perfect straight man. So, and he'd moved to America.
Yeah.
So I would have to get up early in the morning to catch him on his whatever time he was on.
He always sounded like he'd just been, it was like 6 a.m. or something.
Yeah, it was. It was for him. and then I thought, well, I'm going to have to fill it out with stuff. So I found all this public domain stuff to fill it out with. But as it went on, you know, I needed less and less of that because just the talking is, once you get into your groove, as you found with yours, then it becomes easy. But then I started adding more stuff, like more people.
Yeah.
And then I was calling like four or five people, and it became like a week long production to get an episode together. And then I just lost interest in it.
There really was a lot of work in looking back. I listened to a couple the other day actually, and I'm thinking, fucking hell, like this makes ours look a bit shit.
Well, I used to edit a lot, and I used to edit to make me look better than Richard. So I would edit all my ums and ahs and pauses out, and then I would think, oh, fuck it, and just leave his in.
Yeah, I do this annoying thing where it's like, you know, when you're a bit nervous, you start sort of going,
yeah.
It's like a little kiss between your occasional word. I fucking hate those. I always got to get them out of there.
Yeah.
But and of course there was your nephew who did the game reviews. It was some of his reviews were quite unenthusiastic, which made them even better.
And he grew up over it. If you listen to the first one, he's like, I think he was probably about 10, and then the last one he was probably hitting like 13, and his balls had dropped, and he was like, I think he was hung over on one of them.
Yeah, I remember by the last episode, he had a girlfriend and a hangover. Yeah. So it was a journey.
Yeah.
And I always like my personal favourites are always the Halloween episodes.
Yeah, me too.
I always kind of look forward to them. So I can't believe, I'm sure it must have been going longer than 2 years.
Maybe it was. I honestly can't remember.
It seems like it was going on for a long time.
I think there was two. No, there was two Halloween ones, and then there was a special Halloween one that I did for Roomiverse when I was writing stuff for a friend's website called Roomiverse. I did like a one-off Halloween one for that.
Yeah, that's the one I was going to. Basically, if anyone wants to check out Marcus's podcast, that one's still online, isn't it?
Mm.
So if you go to what was it, Roomiverse?
Yeah, Roomiverse.com. And then it was Head Chef's Halloween Countdown It was part of that.
Good so, stuff.
Because I used a pseudonym so that people like the Phantom Crapper couldn't track me down. But, I mean, not that we ever got any feedback. That we got it from you, which was important, and it felt good that somebody liked, actually, just even if you just thought one person was listening to it, it made it worthwhile. The other thing, I could never track how many people were listening to it, because you just couldn't get those stats. All I could track was how big the download had been, and then I could work out how big the episode was, and I could roughly work out from that how many people had downloaded it. Yeah. But that was, I couldn't get like a stats of downloads or anything.
We were doing pretty well until McVeigh did a long review of Transformers Age of Extinction.
Right.
We saw a bit of a dip.
Well, how did you... What, people just stopped listening because they didn't agree?
I don't know. It's kind of a bit of a love-hate thing with Transformers. It's like, yeah. He's really into it and I'm not really that arsed. Yeah. But it creates a lot of funny banter. And I'm only kidding, really.
But do you get comments and emails?
There's like a small group, mainly people we know sort of chip in online, and it's kind of interesting though, because there have been like a couple of people we don't know sort of say stuff, and
but that's a good feeling, right, when you get
it makes it feel worthwhile, you know. Yeah, because I mean, we're still finding our feet, to be honest, because, you know, I've started listening to other similar podcasts, and like they're well up on there, you know. I always forget fucking directors' names, and like McVeigh's more the he knows more about the ins and outs. So I'm more like the comic expert.
They probably make notes and stuff about what they're going to talk about.
Yeah, I think we need to do more. I've started doing more of that. But, yeah. So we often get the comment that, you know, it's a podcast for sort of not hazy memories.
Yeah, but if that's your thing, maybe you should just stick with that. I mean, if that's we had a little web page that I'd put up, and we had like five or six people that were commenting on it, or like in pseudonyms were like Egg Fried Nice, and there was like five or six people on there. But I thought that was good. But then a few years after, I found out it was a friend who I'd fallen out with, who I then made up with, and he was like, "Oh yeah, that was me." so he was like talking to me, even though he'd fallen out with me under all these pseudonyms. And I was like, "All right," and I was reading off all these names, like, I can't remember, Egg Fried Nice and Brown Shoes, whatever. He's like, "Oh yeah, that was me." They were basically all him. It's all like one person. Person under six pseudonyms. So it was you. It was you and one other friend who I wasn't even talking to, where I think our core audience.
I always used to feel bad that I'd send you some bullshit, and I used to worry, like, you'd probably feel obliged to use it because I know one, John. Like, trying to think, like, all those crap ghost stories I sent in.
Yeah, no, that we Onjan animated one of those. It turned out all right, I thought.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember I had a story about my OAP neighbour from growing up.
Yeah, he illustrated it, and then as you listen to it in the player window, it was like a little animation. I thought it was pretty cool.
Any plans to resurrect the Electric Soup Kitchen at any point, even for like a the odd special now and again?
Yeah, I think about it, but probably not.
I suppose it's a lot of work.
What? Let me ever think. What is it that puts me off doing it? I mean, it's not necessarily the work. It's just that no. It just feels like it's done. I think we sort of did it and it's done. And the only reason would be to go back for it would be to make one for you, because you're the only person who gives a fuck. So that's the only reason to do it, really.
Well, if I ever win the lottery, I reckon people who listen to this will check it out, because I suppose they're not on iTunes, are they? But there's that one, the Roomiverse one. People can go and listen to that.
Yeah,
that's even got me on it, hasn't it? Actually, because I remember doing it just after I got married, and there was that.
Oh yeah, it was the
dwarf ghost into it.
And then we were planning, which is shame it never happened, we were planning to go back and see if we could spend a night in the place, right, and like ghost investigate the dwarf. That sentence is backwards. Investigate the ghost dwarf, not ghost investigate the dwarf.
Just to explain what we're on about, basically the lady who was managing our wedding, like towards the end of the wedding.
Not our wedding.
No, sorry, not I didn't marry Marcus. That's why. when I got married a few years ago, is in Congleton, and it's where my missus is from. And basically, the woman managing the wedding suddenly disappeared, and it turned out she'd seen the she'd seen the ghost of a dwarf ran through the wall.
Yeah,
they ran out of the lady's toilet or something through a wall. I've spent a lot of time. I've trawled a lot of the photos from the wedding to try and, like, from the approximate time it would have been, to see if I can see anything. I'm not at any joy, but someone at the town hall reckons they managed to catch it on. They got footage of it, apparently.
Yeah,
which might be bollocks, but.
But yeah, we were talking about spending the night there if we could, right, and see if. Summon him up. But didn't the guy know immediately? The caretaker was like, "Oh yeah, that's the ghost." He knew who the dwarf was.
Yeah. Apparently, it was a big deal. Yeah, he reckoned. I think he might have even said he saw it once. Speaking of dwarfs, in fact, I mean, I think we're using the wrong terminology here, aren't we now?
Little people. No, I think dwarfs is all right if you're technically a dwarf. He said. I mean, I don't know. Might not be all right. I've decided it's all right. It's fine. Absolutely fine.
Sorry if we're upsetting anyone. Yeah. But the guy that Christopher Lee co-starred with in Man with the Golden Gun, the little guy in that, apparently, I was just reading up on it because of Christopher Lee dying, and apparently he killed himself recently, like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He committed suicide because I read that his organs were kind of disproportionate to his small body, and it caused him, like, lots of agony, and he decided to check out as it was doing his head in.
That's a sad story. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, that was pretty David, sad to hear.
The guy David Rappaport from Time Bandits killed himself as well.
What, the main Time Bandit?
Yeah, he shot himself on a bench in New York, I think. Oh no, in LA. He did it in LA.
Bloody hell, I didn't know that.
And I might be wrong here. I think the Fantasy Island guy might have also had a tragic end.
Bloody hell. I think actually it might have been him. It was in Fantasy Island. The little guy from Golden Gun guy. I think I'm pretty sure I read something. Oh, it might have been Gilligan's Island.
I tell you, I've seen walking around where I live a lot. You know Deep Roy, that... I've seen him a few times. And he's been in loads of stuff. And he seems quite happy. But maybe I should sort of check with him next time I see him.
Do you... Would you sort of acknowledge him in the street, or would that be a...
No, I sort of pretend I haven't seen him, but I'm geeking out and thinking, that's Deep Roy. And then I think he's been in, like, Star Wars and Doctor Who and Tim Burton films. And
he was in... I've been buying a few films for, like, because I've got a kid now. I bought Never Ending Story and realised he's in that, in the top hat. Riding a snail in a top hat.
Yeah.
A racing snail. But it looks like he's genuinely, he looks little compared to, like, a Time Bandit, from what I can tell.
No, he's a bit taller. He's proportionally kind of right, but he's... he's taller. But you do see a lot of little people wandering around. Not a lot, but in Los Angeles, there's more little people than, I would say, an average city. I think there's probably... It's not unusual.
Yeah, I can imagine this big entertainment sort of town.
Yeah, so they're all... I mean, but since everything went CG, there's probably less work. Since George Lucas retired and everything went CG, there's probably less robots to be stuffed into.
I can imagine, like, they must have been a bit pissed off. Peter Jackson started just shrinking actors.
Yeah.
I didn't see The Hobbit. I didn't see any of it yet.
It got worse as it went on. I thought the first one was good, the second one was all right, and the third one was horrible. In fact, the third one has got a computer-generated Billy Connolly hobbit riding a pig, and he's got ginger hair and talking in, like, a sort of Russ Abbott, See You, Jimmy accent. That's all you need to know about the third one. And it's entirely computer generated. It's not, but it's to look like Billy Connolly, but it's and it's voiced by him, but it's not him.
That's a bit crap. I noticed George Lucas did some of the stormtroopers were just CG, even next to real people. seemed a bit of a strange move. I don't like that.
I know, but what are you going to do? It's the way it all is, isn't it? It's not going to... I think it's probably cheaper now to do it like that than to make a suit.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah, I think you're probably right, man. So you were telling me you see Jurassic World?
Yeah, didn't like it. I thought...
Yeah.
I love the first one, but... And this film is also in love with the first one. It's constantly like referencing the first one, like saying, "Oh, isn't it great? Wasn't the first one cool?" And brings the music up, and they find the old visitor center, and
yeah.
But it's got this weird sort of macho alpha male story in it. Like Chris Pratt's this sort of tough guy who can train raptors and gets the girl, and it's got this macho like sexist bullshit running all the way through it.
Yeah, someone else said this actually.
It definitely has.
Because the girl in it looks she's quite uptight, and it seems as if he's gonna, I don't know, well, liberate her or something.
Yeah, exactly. He's like this force of nature, and she's running a theme park, so she's obviously pretty successful. But there's this thing about, she's got guilt because she hasn't been able to have kids, because she's got a career, and then he turns up, and at the end he's like, let's just go off and make babies or something. He says something like that, his last line. She's like loosened up, and she's like, I found my dream man. Fuck my career. And that's kind of the message in it. There's like a nerdy guy in it, in the control room, who tries to get a girl and can't. And it's like, nerdy guy can't do it. But the alpha the alpha male has no problem. And then all the dinosaurs has this alpha male sort of theme going through it as well. And you just think, it's like it was written by a 14-year-old boy. Who's just like, I have a 14-year-old boy imagining now what it's like to be a man. Do you know, the further I get away from it, the less I like it. The dinosaurs are great, and the dinosaur stuff is amazing and fun. But sometimes you see a film and the further away you get from it, the more you like it. But this one, the further away I get from it, I just think, it was fucking ruined by that all that stuff. And the thing about Chris Pratt in it, he's good in it, but he's that guy when you meet him. He's this cocky like raptor trainer, and he's that guy at the end. Nothing changes. Yeah. Nothing changes for him. He's a guy who thinks he's right who ends up being right.
Yeah. He don't really go anywhere.
No, it's like meeting Indiana Jones, who thinks he's the shit, and at the end of the film, he's. Everything's been confirmed that he's the shit.
So, right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, I'm giving that 2 thumbs down.
Right.
do you use a thumb scale?
We usually mark out 5, so.
5 thumbs?
Give us out of 5.
Double thumbs is as good as it gets, right?
Yeah. So 2 down. So that's probably like 1 out of 5 or something.
No, actually, I'm gonna give it 3 down then if it's out of 5. But then wait a minute, that's double guns left out of 5, which is as good as it gets. All right, I'm giving it 4 thumbs down.
One
thumbs
up
for the dinosaur. And if you don't use a thumb scale, you should start using the thumb scale now. That's if I can contribute anything, use the thumb scale for your film reviews.
Been up. What's the name? See Mad Max? Said you saw Mad Max.
Yeah, I like Mad Max.
Yep.
Yeah, that was good. I saw that in a really loud cinema, and I came out. My head felt like it had been inside one of those drums on that convoy for like 2 hours. It was like walking out into the street didn't know where my head had been for 2 hours, but it was good. And then I was watching the old ones with the kids. I didn't watch the first ones. I think that's a bit too dark for the kids. But the second one and third one are fine.
I was going to say, like, in retrospect, I like the third one a lot more than... I kind of remembered liking it. Yeah. So I rewatched it recently, and it's not a bad film.
It fits more into the Fury Road world than the second one does. Because it's like bonkers, and the pigs are making the petrol or the gas or whatever that everything's running off. And
Like it feels like it could be sort of... I mean, it's a shame Mel Gibson's not in it, because it feels like it could be like the next stage of that same story.
Yeah.
I didn't really struggled a bit with Tom Hardy. I didn't really, he wasn't really doing it for me.
You mean how he was acting all mad and twitchy, or just generally?
It was mainly his voice. He got the voice kind of just kept sort of drifting between accents, I thought.
Yeah, but that's kind of his thing, isn't it, the silly voice?
Yeah, I thought it definitely felt like Charlize Theron's film.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can blame... You can't really blame anyone for that, because it seems like they get the same amount of screen time and same amount of lines, and
yeah,
she's just better at what she does, I suppose. But he was all right in it, though. He certainly looks the part. It just
I know what you mean, but I thought that a little bit watching it, but it's just like it was like it was setting up for him to become the character. So I think like the first two thirds of the film, he's not even really that character. He's just actually mad. And then,
yeah.
And then at the end, when they sort of share that look and he walks off, it's like, oh, right, now he's that character and he can go off and do Mad Max type stuff. But I think, it's like the film's like just a set to get him to that point, because for the first three quarters of it, he's genuinely like having all those flashbacks and actually insane, isn't it? So I think that's what they were trying to do. But yeah, I know what you mean with him. He always... Do you see the trip with Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan?
I did, yeah.
They make a point in that about his acting. Like, he's a good actor, but you always sense that he's just really acting really hard and trying, you know, just really trying really hard.
I
think that's true. You sort of watching him, you just get the sense that it's somebody just focusing on acting their socks off.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that film Locke recently. I did rate him in that. I thought that got me pretty gripped. So I watched it I was ill one day and I just shut the curtains and I did it really intense. You know, I really focused on it. And
What about his Bane?
Yeah, I didn't mind, because I never really liked Bane in the comic. So I was all up for just do whatever you want with Bane, really.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a two-dimensional character in the comic for me, so I quite liked... I didn't mind the silly voice in that. I thought it kind of worked. I don't think it was the best Batman film in the world, but it was okay. It was all right. I think I got... Cause I was never that on board with Nolan's Batman, and it kind of made me like the others a bit more after I saw that one.
A bit boring, wasn't it? Batman Rises.
Yeah, not much Batman in it.
Yeah,
he's hardly in it, isn't he? It's like it seems like he spends most of the film in that prison.
Yeah.
I'm hoping the next, you know, hoping the Zack Snyder Batman will be good, but I'm not being blown away by what I've seen. But it looks like it'll look nice anyway. So it's that's something.
Have you seen the animated Dark Knight Rises? It's in two parts, but I think you can buy it as a full part as well.
Oh yeah, Dark Knight Returns. Yeah.
Yeah, Dark Knight Returns.
That is good. Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed that with old Peter Weller.
Yeah.
Peter Weller Batman.
Yeah.
Seems like that should have happened a long time ago.
Yeah, he's good.
It seems like the perfect choice for that.
He's got the perfect jaw for sticking out the bottom of that mask.
Exactly, yeah. I suppose, Did you catch the new RoboCop film last year?
No, I missed it. It's on Netflix, so I might watch it and... My son wants to watch it, but I missed it. I mean, you know the remakes, the Poltergeist one just came out over here, and they just disappear. Yeah. They just come out and disappear, and everybody gets... When they get announced, everybody gets pissed off, and everybody's like, oh, it shouldn't happen, and you can't touch the original, but then they just come and go without even... You don't even know, you don't even realise it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah. I mean, actually, I went to the cinema to see RoboCop, because it had... I'm a bit of a Keaton man, it was actually not bad. I mean, my main moan was that the RoboCop himself is like one of these Fast and the Furious type dickheads, you know what I mean? Just some bloke acting tough who looks soft as shit
because
he's been down the fucking gym for a couple of months.
Yeah.
He was a bit of a wanker, but everyone else in it, like, you know, Gary Oldman and Keaton, the guy who played Rorschach's in it, and...
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson's in it, playing a bit of a... they put Samuel L. Jackson in this ridiculous wig and get him to rant. You know, everyone gets Samuel L. Jackson ranting, don't they? But,
yeah.
So that was just a bit annoying.
But not everybody gets him ranting in a wig.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So they've sort of, you know, a bit of creativity there.
But it was like it wasn't like a sort of black man wig. It was like fucking Terry Wogan's haircut or something.
Terry Wogan.
And it's like Samuel L. Jackson in a Wogan wig yeah. ranting at you for 10 minutes at the start.
You're selling it to me.
It looks amazing, though. I mean, they paint RoboCop black at one point yeah. for most of the film, and that was a bad decision because, you know, it just looks like Batman in a RoboCop hat.
I'd love to watch the original with Franklin, my son, who's 10, but I mean, it just can't happen. But I mean, he would love it so much, but there's just so much inappropriate about that film. But
yeah,
but the original is a great film and the best yeah. Judge Dredd film. He's Judge Dredd, yeah. isn't he? I mean, whoever wrote that must have been thinking of Judge Dredd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember first time I saw the first RoboCop, I remember thinking, fuck, like, why hasn't Dredd got a film like this?
Yeah, it's that character almost.
Yeah, yeah, it's not far off, is it?
Right.
Did you like Dredd, the recent Dredd film?
I thought that was all right. It yep. was. It didn't yep. feel big enough, but it was. It was a proper Dredd film, but it didn't feel like Mega City 1 didn't, you know, they went made it more realistic and more urban, and that didn't quite feel right to me. And it didn't, it just needed a little bit more of that colour from the comics, you know, like the sort of jokey, not necessarily funny, but just the, like the ugly clinics and stuff like that. It just needed a bit more yeah. stuff like that for me, but.
Needed a few. Few fatties in it and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it did. Just need a bit more of that. Everybody was just a bit down. And
yeah, there was one dead fatty at the start. Actually, I didn't spot it till this. I didn't see it at first. Someone pointed it out. There's a fat guy laid on the deck with his dolly wheel next.
Oh, is
wheel next to him.
Oh, there is. All right.
I had to give it another watch. All and then right. at one point, there's some graffiti for. Chopper, you know, the
yeah.
sky surfer guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's someone's written another bit of graffiti saying fuck the muties or something.
Yeah. I'm just rereading some of them. I got like a cheap one of the volumes of the old ones, so I'm just going back through some of them. But they should do a yeah. Cursed Earth one. I mean they'll probably never do another one, but they should. The best bit of the Stallone bit film is the yeah. Cursed Earth bit, definitely.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah that was it's not actually that bad, is it? I reckon that Stallone flick. It's not really a Dredd film, but it's fun to watch. I mean,
well, it's got more of that stuff in it that I'm talking about, like the robot and the Mean Machine gang and all that stuff. So
yeah, yeah, it's kind of like it's a bit like a sort of Demolition Man 2 almost
yeah.
in a Dredd suit.
Yeah,
I thought like it was interesting that. The fellow who did a lot of work on Fury Road is an old 80s, 2000 AD guy. And I could really see that in a lot of,
yeah,
you know, the costume design and the set pieces and everything.
The guitar playing guy, that was straight out. Looks straight
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. He was fucking ace.
Yeah, he was.
Every scene he showed up in, everyone seems to go, whoa.
Yeah, I know, it was. And it was good. Did you notice how the guitar playing like went in and out of the music? So it was like, it was all like the score could take over and then he could be like, and he could be playing along with the score and then it could come back and he'd be just like playing something. I thought that, oh, that was really clever how he did that. It was like one big, everything, like the sound effects and the music, and it was all like one big, the mix was like one big piece of music.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a good, a great soundtrack, actually, wasn't it, in general?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I think it's one of them that without the film might not be as easy to listen to, but
yeah.
it worked brilliantly in the film. Like, I bought, remember that film Moon?
Yeah.
I bought a soundtrack to that because I think it's Trent Reznor, I think.
And no, it's not. It's the Purple Eat Yourself guy.
Sorry, yeah.
Clint Mansell.
Clint Mansell, that's yeah. it. That's it. Sorry, that's who I meant.
Do you make some notes, Jim? Make some notes before you start the podcast. That's what the other people do.
So I bought a soundtrack to that because there's a couple of really nice, you know, piano pieces on it with a bit of a sort of dancey vibe.
Yeah.
But the rest, so they're both great, but the rest of the album is just like, sounds like the fucking Clangers or something. It's like sort of ambient moon noise and. Yeah.
The Suit Dragons was another guy.
There's like 45 minutes of sort of abstract weird noise.
Yeah,
I just started to stop listening, so I was like, fuck this.
There's a lot of one-handed piano in that soundtrack, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, you can only do it with one hand, fair enough. It's more hands than I can do with.
So what else been on your radar?
Comics wise, I've been reading Saga. Have you read them?
I've seen the covers. Nice looking covers.
Yeah, no, they're excellent. It's like a sort of big sort of sci-fi, not like serious sci-fi, like sort of wacky sci-fi soap opera.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's good. And then I went back and got some, you know, BPRD, the Hellboy spin-off.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got the first couple of volumes of that, A Plague of Frogs. I loved that. So that was great. And then new stuff. Franklin's reading the Secret Wars week by week, you know, the big Marvel Secret Wars thing, but I haven't looked at any of those. I'll wait till he gets them all and read them. But that's one of the cool things about having a kid. You can buy, you know, I can go to the comic shop and get a pull on a run of Secret Wars and pretend it's for him. But really, I'm going to read it too.
Is that a new Secret Wars?
Yeah, it's like a big rewrite of everything. They're sort of they're killing people off and they're resetting the whole universe. So it's a big deal. So he's on issue 3 of that, but I don't know how many it's going to be.
Because I remember reading the there was that one in the 80s with the same title. It was quite good.
Yeah, I've tried to read that, but I've never been able to get into it. I've tried to read it like a few years ago, and it's too dense.
Yeah, I was pretty young at the time. I was just looking at the pictures, to be honest.
Well, but I think if you were reading them in the 80s and you were following all their stories, but if you go back now and look at it, you don't know. I mean, half the characters and what's been going on leading up to that.
Yeah.
I haven't got a clue, so...
Some of the stories where there's a shitload of characters involved, gives me a bit of a headache.
Yeah.
Like, especially, you know, like Alex Ross likes to throw in a million characters, doesn't he, in every panel. And I don't think it aids the story. It makes the storytelling a bit more harder, I think.
The Secret Wars looks like it's like that. I mean, the covers are like that, for starters, but... what else? Yeah. I don't know. What else is coming out? The Star Wars, end of the year. Looks pretty good.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. I mean,
Ant-Man, are you interested in that?
Yeah, that's. I'll give it a whirl. Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd give it a whirl. Yeah, I was hoping. It was a bit of a shame old Edgar Wright got kicked off it, but
yeah,
I'll still give it. I like Michael Douglas and what's his name, the main guy. He's never really bothered me. So
he's never bothered you. What's he called? Paul? Is it Paul somebody?
Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
I did see a funny one where every time he goes on that Conan show, he brings this stupid clip from, what's it called? Mac and Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Showed the same clip for 15 years as a gag.
Yeah. But I can't think. Yeah, what else? I can't think. Do you watch? What about TV? Are you watching like Penny Dreadful or Game of Thrones or anything like that?
I'm tempted to give Game of Thrones a go. It was one I kind of missed the start of it. So I've been, you know, there's so much of it now that it's hard to know. Quite fancied getting into Hannibal.
I do too. Yeah, a lot of people going on about that, but I haven't seen it. But a lot of people reckon it's good.
So I watched a bunch of. I watched the Pusher trilogy recently. I'd only seen the first one.
Right.
I didn't realise, but. The second one is all about him, like Mads Mikkelsen is his character. And the third one's like, it's all about the bad guy from the first one. But the second one's probably the best of the three, I thought. And it took me a while to figure out who he is because he looks completely different because he's got skinhead and his stupid tattoos all over him.
Right, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, they're worth looking up then. And I think it's the guy who made Drive.
Right.
Winding Refn guy.
Yeah, he's good.
So, all pretty B movies, you know. Don't think there's any particular budget involved, but seems like he launched a few careers. I watched that. Speaking of Pusher, I saw The Bridge recently. That was quite good.
Yeah, I didn't see that. No, I missed it. I'm on TV. I watch Penny Dreadful, which is crap but enjoyable.
It's dreadful.
Oh. Yeah. Well, it's just cheesy. But, it's got Timothy Dalton fighting witches and vampires, so you can't, go far wrong. Can't go far wrong with that.
I credit What's-Her-Name for Sin City 2.
Yeah.
For getting a kit off.
Well, she's great in it, actually. She's the best thing about it. She just totally puts herself through the ringer in some episodes. She's not afraid to, like, just look, like, death warmed up or she's possessed or whatever. She really there's no vanity in what she does in it. So she's good.
Cool, cool.
Game of Thrones is good. You should check that out. If you can get like season one used box set, something, you should definitely check that out. And
yeah, I'd give it a go. Yeah. I certainly like a bit of Sean Bean.
I mean, if you like that, it's light on all the sort of dragons and magic stuff. It's really light on that, and it's more on all the politics, which makes it sound more boring than it is, because it's also totally brutal. So it's kind of a mixture of, like, it's like Macbeth with dragons. So if that sounds good, then you should check it out.
Sounds cool. I did watch, finally saw Stargate Universe recently. Quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, I haven't seen them.
It seemed like it got cut short pretty early, and I couldn't really figure out why, because it seemed to sort of get better as it went along for me. They only got two seasons. It's a shame.
There's a few things like that out there. Have you heard of Defiance? I think that's on like season three. And there seems to be a lot of people watching it, but there's a lot of sci-fi out there like that. Was it Helix or something? That one that's a bit like The Thing, set on Arctic base or something. But anyway, I haven't seen it, and you haven't seen it, so it's probably not a lot to talk about there.
And there was one with Chris Eccleston, looked interesting, set in the Arctic, I think, or maybe Alaska.
Right.
I think it was called... Bollocks.
didn't ring a bell. In fact, I'm pretty sure I'd remember it.
That'd be quite a selling point, actually, wouldn't it?
This summer, Christopher Eccleston is Bollocks. That's actually more of a detective name than a science fiction thing.
It was Fortitude.
All right. You could call a character Bollocks over here, and nobody would know what you're talking about. You could have a detective Bollocks, and they'd probably fall for it hook, line, and sinker.
I keep hearing the phrase "wanker" used more by Americans.
Yeah, so, but they don't know what that means. They think it's like a sort of a diss, but they don't really know what it means. I heard somebody on the news say, "Oh, he's a bit of a wank." And somebody said, this is like the morning news. Somebody said, what? He's talking about Justin Bieber. So he's a bit of a wank. It's a British word, isn't it? He said, what do you think it means? And they're like, he's a bit of an idiot. And the guy's like, that's not what it means. So they do try, but they don't really know what it means. But then they think of Fanny as an ass. So,
That's
just starting the point. It's like my mother-in-law complained that my son was hitting her on the Fanny. I'll have to have a word with him.
Oh dear. So, all right, man. I better sign off because the missus is due home in a minute. All right. So thanks for coming on Meet for the Beast, Marcus. And it'll be good to get you back soon.
Welcome. Although I've only got a 1 week trial on this call recorder, and then I have to pay for it. So.
Right.
So you'd have to download the 1 week trial if you want to do it again, because I'm not paying for it.
We'll have to kill someone and assume their identity for a week.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks a lot for that.
See ya.
See you soon, mate.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Electric Soup Kitchen.
Okay, so thanks again to Marcus of formerly of the Electric Soup Kitchen podcast for being a Meat for the Beast guest and doing a little Electric Soup revival. Really enjoyed that. And if anyone's wanting to find out what Electric Soup was, if you've not heard it, I'm going to put a link on our Facebook page. Or you can just go to Google, type in Roomiverse, and then Electric Soup Kitchen or Roomiverse, and then Head Chef, and you'll find it. You can sort of just stream it off their site, or I could imagine you could probably download it as well. Having trouble finding it, send me a message me on Facebook page or Twitter, and I'll send you the link directly. Okay, normally this is about where it ends, but we've got more. Me and McVeigh did a longer sesh the other night than we'd planned, so we've got a bit of an overspill. So here we go.
Overspill.
I've got a beef.
Oh, shitless beef or just beef in general?
It's well, I'll run it by you. Basically, I was watching. I keep having to watch shitty cartoons like Frozen. My kids got into Frozen, and I must have seen that film 20 times now, and it was shit the first time. You know what I mean?
Jesus.
So I've tried to sort of start getting them into stuff that's more, less painful to watch. And so one that I quite like is Black Cauldron.
Okay, yeah. I've seen that for ages.
Yeah, and it's good. It's aged pretty well, I think. It still looks good. And, I never read The Hobbit as a kid or Lord of the Rings, so I didn't get as a kid all those kind of references in it. But watching it now, it's very much like a derivative of Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
It's like a Disney-fied, stripped-down Lord of the Rings, basically.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a stupid thing to say, but it is. And there's a character in it called Gurgi, who's he's a bit like Gollum. You don't know, at first he's not really a goodie or a baddie, and eventually he becomes a goodie, and it ends with him throwing himself into this lava-like cauldron and dying and saving the day.
Right. Oh.
You know, so he's got very Gollum-like similarities, I think. Even though Gollum turned out evil, he kind of goes the other way.
Okay.
And his voice sounds exactly like Gollum.
Really?
Bearing in mind this was made in 1986, I think.
Right.
So I was saying to Melissa, I rewound, there was one sequence especially, and I rewound it and said to Mel, who does this sound just like? She's like, it sounds really like Gollum. And I went online, and there's quite a community of people up in arms about it, apparently. Like, I think other people that have had a kid and rewatched Black Cauldron are suddenly like, wait a fucking minute. And I tracked down Andy Serkis. Him talking about his inspiration for the voice, and he's like, I was around my friend's house, and the cat was like, the cat had a hairball and started going, that's where I got the Gollum voice from. And then a few of the comments are like, fuck you, Serkis. We know you fucking did Gurgi in the ass. You fucking plagiarist.
Holy shit.
So yeah, Serkis is being accused of just ripping off Gurgi.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, so fuck you. Fuck you, Serkis. So yeah, I'm going to nominate him for the shit list.
I have no objection to that.
Yeah,
that's fine.
So who have we got? Let's just run through it quickly. We've got
Stephen Hawkins.
The first one was fucking Alex Ross.
Alex Ross, yeah.
Stephen Hawking. Jai Courtney.
Yep.
Who was that other guy? Akiva Goldsman, is it?
Akiva Goldsman, yep. Yeah.
And now Andy Serkis.
Fucking hell. Nice one.
Fuck you, Serkis. This one's a Gurgi.
One thing that's just reminded me, the Stephen Hawking thing, when you first ranted about him and you were calling him Stephen Hawkins, I think there's something awesome about disrespecting someone and getting their name wrong. And I went to see Stuart Lee in do a stand-up show the other week in Sheffield, and he was talking about how he's called his cat Paul Nuttalls from UKIP. And he said he got the cat a couple of years ago when UKIP were just something to laugh at as opposed to something really be concerned
about. Genuine threat.
But that's when he called it Paul Nuttalls from UKIP. But the guy from UKIP is actually called Paul Nuttall. There's no S. And if you go on YouTube, there's an awesome bit where Stuart Lee's ranting about Paul Nuttalls from UKIP. And it's just, I think it's kind of disrespectful in an awesome way, but also it also helps him sidestep any litigation because he's Paul Nuttalls doesn't exist. So he's just talking about this dick that doesn't actually exist, even though everyone knows it's him.
I like it.
So maybe we should have every now and then have a doff of the cap, and I'm going to doff the cap at Stuart Lee because he is correct.
I've heard him doing his Braveheart routine, which is well worth looking up, and I noticed he never calls Scottish people Scottish. He calls them the Scotch people.
Fucking hell.
even when he's playing a gig in Glasgow.
Yeah, that'll go.
they must fucking love.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's going down? What's going down? Anything to report?
I have very little to report, to be honest. The Clench are playing gigs, and by the time this is out, we might have already played it. I don't really know, to be honest, mate. I've not watched an incredible amount.
Got a bit of news, if you want it.
Go on.
It was, I was thinking the other day, like, you know, you get slagged off for Transformers.
Yeah.
I think the thing I should probably get slagged off for is Nirvana. I can't seem to get away from Nirvana in a minute.
Really?
A lot of Nirvana stuff going on.
I think you should stop slagging off Courtney Love for one thing. Because you still would.
Oh, mate. I think Kurt Cobain could have done a lot better, to be honest.
Well, yeah, but...
if you were Kurt Cobain, come on.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, he could have had his pick of anyone. Instead, he picked someone that looked like his mum. Fucking weirdo. Yeah.
I mean, he could have, like, I mean, who could he have been going out with back then? Like, I'm trying to think. Like, he could have had Kim Deal as his girlfriend, or... I don't know.
Yeah? Shit, I don't know. Even Susanna Hoffs. I reckon he had a crack at her.
Who's she again?
She's from the Bengals.
Okay. He could have had Rene Russo.
Yeah.
She would look good on his arm. Remember her?
Yeah, I remember her, yeah.
Leaf Weapon 4, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah, and in the Line of Fire, starring Clint Eastwood.
Yeah,
we're just picking random women here.
Well, I'm trying to think of the era. And then he probably, when he got older, if he didn't die by the noughties, he'd probably be going out with, what's the name, Brody Dahl or some young hot rock chick. Rather than fucking old Fish Lips. Still bleaching her hair in a fucking...
Gwen Stefani. What about Gwen Stefani?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd work.
That'd be a good... Yeah, because she ended up going out with fucking Gavin Rossdale, didn't she?
Yeah, I think they're still together, aren't they?
Well, to be fair, you know, he's not a bad-looking guy, is he?
Oh, no, yeah, he's a handsome fella, I guess. He's good in Constantine as well.
Oh, yeah,
He plays some sort of demon, and he's right sleazy as well. And I think there's a bit where he licks something, and he goes, I think you're looking good. And it's just nasty. It's just horrible. But I always say that every time I have KFC. So I say it in the Gavin Rossdale voice. No one gets it. Please.
One thing I always have to say, every fucking time I get it, it's almost annoying. Like, every time I get a tenner out from a cash machine, I have to say, easy money, just to myself. I'm like, well, I just don't... You know, it's been going on so long, I just have to sort of say it to myself. I don't know, I don't even know why.
And it's not even that easy, because you earn that. It's not like you're stealing it with a weird little Atari thing.
But what I was going to say is, two bits of Nirvana news. Firstly, quite a big one was, what's his name? Buzz Osborne from the Melvins. He basically said that, because there was a documentary out recently, what's it called? Montage of Heck. He was saying that that film's based on what Kurt said about his life, and basically Kurt was bullshitting. he said he went to school with Kurt and Chris and, like, knew them really, really well. And he said, like, it was a guy just, like, fucking yanking your chain, and he wanted to be seen as, like, the haunted rock star, so he just made up a load of funny stories, like shagging the simple girl and that kind of thing. which I hope that's true. I hope it is bullshit, because it's a pretty horrible tale. But then...
Well, he didn't shag her, he did get out of there.
yeah, true, yeah.
But yeah.
And he was saying that... best one... I don't know if I believe this or not, because a lot of the songs seem to reference his stomach issues, but he said, you know those stomach issues? Kurt once said to me, I just made this all up so I can get fucking loaded all the time. And everyone will feel sorry for me. Which I thought was great. I hope that's true. But I'm not sure that, whether it would be or not. But
bloody hell.
And he also said that... you know, Courtney's full of shit, and every time she said she thought about nobbing someone, she actually did. But I don't know. Well, we don't fucking know, do we? We weren't there, but fair play to her if she did, you know.
Oh, yeah.
She's got the, you know, she do what she wants. But the other one was that there's a new doc out called Soaked in Bleach, another clunky title, but and she's tried to sort of, she's taken action against them to stop it getting out there. But I looked up the trailer on Saturday night, and next to it was like the full film on YouTube, so I thought, hey, and it was under their official YouTube thing as shit. Well, and I just fucking watched it all for free on YouTube via their official shizzle.
Bloody hell.
But it's got, I looked again today and it's gone.
Is
so
it?
So I don't know what that was about.
Bloody hell, but, how was it?
Yeah, well, I was expecting some real, you know, there's a lot of cheap sort of Nirvana docs, aren't there, and that you see an HMV and you've never heard of it before. Excuse me. And it was actually pretty decent. Like, production quality was really, really, really high. You know, he probably spent as much money on it as this Montage of Heck guy.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, the only slightly corny thing is, looks like they've made a replica of the place he shot himself in.
Ooh.
And all the interviews are taking place in that. So that was a bit like, yeah, I don't think I would have done that. But
right,
it's kind of more of a, it's quite a docudrama. There's lots of reenactments of what allegedly took place, and it's all by private investigator that Courtney hired to track down Kurt. He basically said he smelt a rat with what was going on. He said he didn't basically trust her, so he recorded everything that went on for that period, and it's just some very shady revelations about Courtney Love and Kurt's mate Dylan Carlson.
Jeez.
And certain things come out that you're like, man, that's a bit suspect,
right?
But I won't ruin it. But it's worth watching. Well, it does sort of, it did kind of make me rethink it all a bit. But I mean, I don't know. It's pretty stupid to say he didn't kill himself. But then some of the stuff, like, I mean, I hope I'm not spoiling this for anyone. I mean, maybe skip on a minute if you don't want to hear this. But
it's all right, mate. No one cares.
You dickhead. Fucking hell. Well.
That was good, that. Come on, man. High five.
Yeah, touche.
Blimey. I mean, I guess, I mean, if she's sending out kind of, you know, let's stop this, if she's trying to get it stopped, then that does kind of, you know, why? If she was completely free of whatever, then,
yeah.
You know, like, because you're in the public eye, people are going to say shit, whatever. If you care enough to make them stop it, you know, then that, I suppose that's kind of fuel in the fire, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You're threatening litigation and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, because I'd have never heard of it if she hadn't have attacked it. So, it's a bit of a strange move, really.
How ironic.
Well, do you think that was why it was on YouTube, though, that the director's just like, fuck it, let's just get it out there?
Could be. I'm just having a look. It looks like it's on Vimeo. For rental, so like you can buy it for a tenner to stream, or you can rent it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Well, we're on the 23rd, right? June 17th, it was reported that she sent cease and desist orders against theatres that were going to show it.
Yeah.
So obviously, it's going to get a small release. So you're looking at only a few hundred screens, really, and to send cease and desist to everyone, it's pretty fucking serious business.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bit shady. Oh yeah, one thing I wanted to say. I wanted to thank both our respective partners who have never listened to the podcast and never will.
Okay.
For the two likes we got off them for last month's episode. It was the only fucking only interaction we got.
What for Age of Daz Ultron?
Yeah. It's kind of two pity fucking likes.
Yeah, we get more likes for actually inane shit that we post, don't we?
Yeah, like some daft shit. One of his posts will get like, we'll start getting messages like, do you want to promote this post? It's doing really well. It's doing better than the other shit you put out there. So cheers to our women for that, and try the fuck harder, audience. Where's your mate Martin? Your mate Martin's dropped off the map, hasn't he?
He's around. He's loitering.
Not had any grief from Martin for a while. Kind of
maybe. Maybe I've not said anything that it goes against his opinion. Maybe I'm finally on his wavelength after all these years. After 31 years, I'm finally in agreement. Who knows?
It's a sad day when you don't get a few cursory words from Mr. Carhill.
It is indeed. It is. Speak up, Martin. What do you think of this? Where do you stand on Nirvana? You know you're a big fan of grunge music. What do you think of Nirvana?
Yeah.
Please write in.
No, but we appreciate all your past comments.
Of course we do.
You're a good man.
Okay, I'm going to leave you guys with some pretty important news. My band, the Friends of Batman, will be playing their final gig in about a month's time. We're playing at the Tramlines Festival in Sheffield, and we're playing a pub called the Shakespeare, which is in West Bar. It's near the kind of fire station museum. We're on at 2 p.m. on the Saturday afternoon. So I hope you can make it. It's a sad event for all of us, but we're going to make the most of it and have fun. And there's also, as Terry's illegal broadcast said at the start, there's also Terry, aka James Bonsall, and mate of ours, Rene Dorset. They're making a documentary about the band and the demise of the band, which is quite... It's not a documentary, it's not doing it justice. It's a rockumentary, and it's pretty badass, and that's going to get screened at some point. So I'm going to I'll keep you in the loop for that. So in the meantime, thanks for listening to Meat for the Beast, and thanks again for Marcus for coming on, and I'll see you guys soon. Cheers, bye.
That's all, folks, from the Beast.
Hey, how's it going? Is that the mic? Yeah.
Sound like you're turning to Ashley again.
Oh, Fred.
Fred. Sorry, I just want to...
We've run out of fucking sausages.
Not bad.